an excerpt of Wendell Berry's Window, Window. Sometimes he thinks the earth might be better without humans. He's ashamed of that. It worries him being a human and needing to think well of others in order to think well of himself. And there are a few he thinks well of, a few he loves as well as himself, almost. And he would like to say better. But history is so largely unforgivable. Here is a thing, flesh of his flesh, that he hates. He would like a little assurance that no one will destroy the world for some good cause. Until he dies, he would like his life to pertain to the earth. But here is something in him that will wait, even while he protests for things to turn out as they will. Out his window this morning, he saw 9 ducks in flight and a hawk dive at his mate in delight. The day stands apart from the calendar. There is a will that receives it as enough. He is given a fragment of time in this fragment of the world. He likes it pretty well. This morning, we once again find ourselves well into the September season somehow. Backpacks litter the front lawns while the weather is still warm, leaves turning vibrant before they're letting go. The rush of fall here at UUCWC is often felt strongest as the congregation returns to 2 services, saying goodbye to those who frequent the early or later hour, grateful for our growth and health, and mourning the division of our rituals. It is now at the start of another season and another month that we also find ourselves diving into another new monthly theme to be considered in worship and religious education and social justice and across the kitchen table. What does it mean to be a people of covenant? Now you might be thinking to yourself, we've done this before, because we've done this before. We've explored this word covenant quite deeply just in my years with you, and I will tell you before going much further that the ministers who join me in introducing this theme in UU congregations across the country, they are a little antsy about it. How many times can one preach on covenant, they are saying on Facebook pages everywhere, on the sacred promises that are the backbone, the foundation, the core of Unitarian Universalism. We are a non-creedal religion, one that asks you to declare, I'm sorry, we are not, did I say we are? We are a creedal religion? Good, you're paying attention. That was on purpose. We are not a creedal religion, one that asks you to declare or even define what you believe about God and afterlife or a text. We are covenantal. Ours is a religion defined by how we promise to be in this life, with others, with whatever it is that we call the sacred. It is, as my colleague, the Reverend Victoria Safford says, not a question of what we believe, but what we believe in. I love that. Not what we believe, but what we believe in. But you know all of this already, I am sure, because we have talked about it before. It is the kernel of our faith. But let's just assume, and I know that there are a couple of new folks in the room, so we will revisit this conversation once more. Covenant, in its most traditional explanation, is a contract between God and God's people, the community and the individual. If we behave this way, we will be rewarded that way. And if we don't behave this way, we will be punished in that way. It was a matter of defining who was whose, to what community and higher power you were accountable, and what that looked like in the world. But I need to be really clear in this moment. That's not the covenant, the risk-averse, law-abiding, no surprises contract that we talk about as Unitarian Universalists. You know this. Last weekend, I officiated a wedding for one of our beloved members' grandchildren. a really lovely and fun couple who I met with for over a year, dotting the I's and crossing the T's to their wedding ceremony. Yes, I will be sure to represent your laughter. Yes, we will absolutely have a place to honor your child. Of course you can walk down the aisle to a death metal song. Why not? But here's one thing, I explained, and I say this to every couple whose marriage I officiate. If I am to be your minister, this must be said during your wedding ceremony. At the end of the day, this relationship, legal or otherwise, made public or privately formalized, it is about choice. It is about choosing one another, vows re-expressed creatively, repetitively, and without asterisk or explanation over and over again. Now, there may be a time when you realize you can no longer choose the other or this coupling or the dreams you saw so clearly on your wedding day. But any relationship, romantic, friendship, communal, whatever, is bound by the active choices that grow or deplete the things that connect you. For this couple this past weekend, whose opening words that they chose spoke of their love as being a sort of divine accident, this was an uncomfortable statement to hear. The Reverend Gretchen Haley, a friend and colleague of mine, says it this way. "Let me tell you," she says, "right now, sometime in the next year, maybe in the next few minutes, the people you most believe in and care about are going to disappoint you. Your church is going to disappoint you. The world is surely going to disappoint you, like all the time. We are all walking wounded and weary from the way this world can and does break our hearts. Our culture teaches us to be strong in our individualism, to be self-defined and self-determined, to be separate. But our covenantal theology, our theology of relationship, affirms that we become human through our promises to and with each other. And even more so, not just through the promise making, but also when we break those promises and yet somehow find ways to reconnect and begin again. When we repair the relationship because we know we need each other. Even when we think the other isn't doing enough." This is my favorite part, and also the part where my stomach turns a little bit. Did you hear that? When we decide to repair that relationship, even when we think the other isn't doing enough, when the other is annoying us, isn't listening well, not doing the things the way we want them done, even then. Haley concludes, "This beginning again says our faith is when the holy and the human meet." Now that's hardly risk averse with no surprises. And it's far from accidental. It's in large part about choice. And at the end of the day, it is inherently religious. Folks don't often know this. I don't know why it's not part of our cultural understanding, but the etymology of the word religion is simply to bind or to connect. That's what that word means. So when we as a religious body talk about covenant, it is inherently sacred. But what does that look like? That constant three-tiered promise, making, breaking, beginning again, where the human and holy meet. Because I will tell you, I believe this wholeheartedly, but when I was writing that wedding ceremony the other day at home, and I looked up at Tara, my beloved, and I said, "Do you believe this is true, that it's all about choice?" And she said, "Yes, of course." I was a little hurt. I was quite sad, because we want our relationships to always be a falling in love. A heart-opening, life-expanding synchronicity, partnership or congregation, you with your minister, she with her people, us with our children, our friendships, our own spirits, and yes, whatever it is that we call the holy. But when life happens and you realize this stuff is going to take work, why does the spiritual always have to take work? One Chalice Circle facilitator lamented the other day. Whether our buttons are pushed, our feelings are hurt, and we walk wounded alongside other bruised and broken in this big human tribe, it is uncomfortable to believe in covenant, to believe the sacred lives in choiceful connection, to step even a hair on our skin into the risk of beginning again. Now, let me pause here for a moment, because oftentimes we talk about covenant as promise making, breaking, and then we're going to forgive it and begin again. It's really not so much about forgiveness. It's not about pushing down or pretending the pain and heartache doesn't exist either. Covenant is about movement. And yes, work, just like all spiritual practices are, and being awake to the purpose of the promise you once made. The purpose of the connection you seek to grow or grow again or grow into. The work, the spiritual practice of building the beloved community, of being in any community, the energy and vulnerability and risk of moving out of isolation and separation and independence into sacred dependence, it is, as A. Powell Davies, the UU prophet of the 60s, once said, the work of growing our souls. Covenant is so tricky. On paper, it can read a little like parental finger wagging, can't it? Play nicely, speak respectfully, share your toys. But it's so much harder than that. There's so much more alive within it, humbling and holy. This is a conversation about to whom we are accountable, how we will move through the world. If we are building up and creating connection where life and love and wholeness can bloom within each of us and others and the world that we are a part of, or if we will choose to believe that we are islands, that people and relationships are unchangeable, that there is nothing to learn, to forgive, nothing to which we might ask for forgiveness. Sometimes he thinks the earth might be better without humans. He's ashamed of that. It worries him, him being a human and needing to think well of others in order to think well of himself. Here's my invitation to you over the next week, month, time as a Unitarian Universalist. I've had this covenantal conversation with a number of congregants already in chalice circles and worship associates, and what I hear the most when leaving those reflections is a want, or perhaps a curiosity, to widen our circles of covenant, to take seriously the spiritual practice of renewal, the commitment and work to see marriage, friendship, congregational life, not as a passive thing that happens to us, the marriage failed, the friendship fizzled, the congregation, fill in the blank, but something that we exist within. And then I invite you to discover what you've connected to in this theology of relationship. What vulnerability has resurfaced that you've tried so hard to hide? What joy or love sprang to life again that was waiting for you under its routine? What heartache still needs a balm of peace? Go to those places. There is a will that receives it as enough. You are given a fragment of time in this fragment of the world. Lay down your heart at the foot of covenant and choose those things that bind and connect you to something larger. May it be so, and blessed be.